So point one, what are you bringing to God? When you come and you worship, what are you bringing to God? Okay? It's your spiritual worship. You've come on a Sunday or the way that you live, right? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice is what the scripture tells us, right? So we sing to the Lord with all of our heart, right? Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Did you sing those words and go, wow, that's quite a commitment? Does anybody have thoughts that go on in their head while you sing the songs you sing? Because my brain a little bit wants to go this way, right? So I sing, oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. My next thought is, please don't let me blow it. Like, oh, but you know what I'm like. I'll serve you to the end, but Peter said that. Look what he did. I would never deny you, Jesus, even if it meant death. You know, and whoops. And Jesus restored him. Jesus didn't hold it against him. So what is it that we're offering to God as we present ourselves? You worth it? Are you old money? And you're trying to use it? And the guy at the shop goes, I don't know what that is. Right? You go to the bank. You say, remember, your bank promised 10p for this back in the day. And they go, whatever, give it, here's a real one, you know. What do you bring to God when you come and worship? Is there anything you can bring? Wait a minute, what's the doctrine? How do we actually think about this as Christians? Where are you going? You got to stop and question even the guy preaching. What are you up to, pal? Right? Why does God, inspiring this writer of the book of Romans, tell us to focus on our bodies? I found that interesting. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So, since we're saved by grace through faith and not by works, right? And because Jesus died for our sin and we're forgiven, why this admonition about what we're doing with our bodies? Have you thought about these things? That's hopefully why the preacher is lifting it up and saying, check that out. Look at that. How does our living sacrifice lead to something that is holy and acceptable to God as we present our bodies? I really need to know. As I study this over the weeks that we've been studying it, it's been the subject of our Bible study on Thursday evenings for probably 3 or 4 weeks. As the sermon was coming, we've been mining the gold in the Bible study. So I stand on the shoulders of giants, you know, and the people who write commentaries, occasional Googled article. But you know what? If the person up here has got a fistful of Googled facts and he's going to come and give you a book report on the Bible, we're in desperate shape. It cannot be that. The Holy Spirit of God guides people as we look at his word, to be changed in our hearts. Don't just give me a book report, minister. How does our living sacrifice lead to something that's holy and acceptable to God as we present our bodies? Well, we're told in just the first verse that this is how to worship. Look what it says in the scripture about this call to holiness, Romans chapter 12. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, I read New Living Translation that second time. Same words, same meaning. What are we doing here? Okay, holy, right? The word is hagios. We've talked about it before. It means sacred or holy. It comes from this word hagos that means religious awe. So how about that? You know, did you know, and we're not Mormon here, and I question the claim of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that it's Christian doctrine, because Paul said, let anyone who comes with the gospel other than this be anathema, eternally cursed. And the angel Moroni has brought a gospel that is other than the one Paul preached, so that you have a Book of Mormon. But here is a commitment of another religious group to holiness. The contractor building the Mormon temple came walking in one day before work to the work site. And the elders of the church came in and said, "What are you doing there?" The guy said, "What?" He said, "What are you doing there?" The guy said, "What, what?" I said, "Oh, no." And they went, and there were strict instructions that a particular area of the temple was never to be trod upon by the workers or by anybody. It was set apart. It was a holy spot. They tore down what had been constructed in this temple and scraped it away and rebuilt it because it had been stepped on by a guy in boots. This is just an example of someone's commitment to something being untouched, unspoiled, and set apart. Now, it's a religious practice of a people whose religion I don't practice, and I don't recognize the preaching of the story that they tell of Jesus Christ that doesn't match what the scriptures, this Holy Bible, says. I don't hate Mormons. I don't throw rocks at them when they walk by. I talk to them when they come to my door, which is rarely. But it's not true, and it can't stand. But they just gave us an example of a commitment to holiness that they hold that we don't express it that way. There were people who left this church and this fellowship when we started serving tea and coffee at that table behind you. There shouldn't be crumbs in the house of God. You know, I said a couple of flaky people, sure, but no crumbs, right, okay, we'll miss you, you know? This commitment to holiness, this religious awe, is something that the scripture calls us to. We've seen it before when we read in the first chapter of Romans. So if you're in Romans, you could find the first chapter if you wanted to read this, but I'm going to read verse 7 of chapter 1 in Romans. It says, "To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints," which is hagioi, which is a noun, holy ones, "called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So this is what we sign on for when we enter into the Christian life, holiness. What about your life is a no-fly zone? You cannot go there. Don't spoil this good thing. Don't render unholy in you the called saint. Is that our special place in you that cannot be touched? Is there something about you that you will not compromise and you will not muddy and you will not give any ground on in your Christian faith? Because we're called to be that. We're called to nourish, nurture, and maintain holiness in us. That's mighty. That's mighty. Now, if you get the wrong idea about spirituality, it's exhausting. Have you seen the red soap that's in there? You're not going to wash yourself with that soap. You used to have to wash yourself with that soap, right? What's it called? Carbonic? Carbolic? Carbolic soap. Ooh. You know? That'll dry up your pores if you got oily skin, boy. Yeah. But here's the thing. It sure did clean the clothes, you know, but if you were at the end of the row and you didn't have plumbing and you had a bucket full of water and you had to go get more, you could wash the kids in that. Some kids got washed in it, right? But the exhausting element of trying to make yourself holy by scrubbing, of trying to purge all the stuff, that's a hearty and heavy work if you took it upon yourself to make it so. And the Christian story is something different, something that, guess what, you can't do it. So God had to do it for us, and then we're set free from it so that we can walk in it. You can't scrub enough to be holy, but God has made you holy in the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And being set free from the record of sin against you, being set free from the nature in you that wants more sin, we're set to walk in holiness. How's that going for you? I let myself down in holiness. I think we all do. And this life of a saint, this person who's characterized by religious awe, is what we're called to. Have you ever used the phrase to communicate to someone that you don't think you're better than anyone else, that you're not perfect? Have you ever said, well, I'm no saint, but... Oh, no, no, I'm the worst of sinners, Paul says, right? I am the least. And here's God saying, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In the scripture today, we receive a call from God to consider our walk, to consider the way we live, and that it is to be aiming for holy. Do you aim for holiness in your life as you live because you're Christian? Is your life acceptable to God? Hand to heart, my life, my body's given to God, my life is holy and acceptable. That's got to be the answer, because that's what the scripture is saying to do. What about your life is a sacrifice at all? And why is scripture asking for a sacrifice from you? How do you worship? Right? Okay, so here we are. As we consider these questions, the next line suggests an answer. Look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So the way to be accepted then is to be transformed. Be different than the way that you started.